You published recently in the JNCI some information about thyroid function and sunitinib. Can you talk about that?
Sure. So we had looked at a large number of our patients who had had metastatic kidney cancer and had gotten sunitinib on one of a variety of trials, and we had started about 30 patients into that doing thyroid function tests routinely at baseline and then every two cycles. There had been some reports with sunitinib in a different disease and GIST of thyroid dysfunction, so we started to check it on our patients. And what we found, as we sort of looked back in the retrospective review that you referred to, that about 85% of patients had one or more abnormality in thyroid function. So that could have been a mild TSH abnormality or something else. That does not say it was clinically significant, but does tell us that the percentage of patients who have some abnormalities is high. A smaller subset of that patients, about half of those patients, had more than one abnormality or had clinical signs or symptoms consistent with hypothyroidism. Now, the difficulty, of course, is that some of those symptoms, like fatigue or puffiness, can be symptoms of sunitinib as well. So it was hard, if not impossible, to say that they were strictly related to thyroid function. I believe 17 patients got thyroid replacement, and about half of them had improvement in symptoms. So it was more of a report to make people aware that it is a potential side effect. I think it tends to be cumulative. If patients stay on it long enough, I think they're likely to get hypothyroid. And that with sunitinib therapy, it should be monitored. And if patients get hypothyroid, you know, either clinically and or biochemically, they should be replaced with Synthroid because it can help ameliorate side effects. Not always, but it's at least something that's treatable. The mechanism is really unknown. Presumably there's interference of blood flow to thyroid cells with the drugs, but that's really not well described. We're going to report data at ASCO this year with sorafenib, where we really didn't see the same phenomenon. And without giving you too many details, it tells us that the drugs are different. We really see that hypothyroidism with sunitinib when we really don't see it as prominently with sorafenib.
Overall, what fraction of patients who receive sunitinib end up requiring replacement?
I know it's probably a hard percentage to come by. I mean, my guess is probably in the range of 15 to 20%.
And how much of an issue do you think this is, assuming the physician monitors thyroid function?
It's really a non-issue in terms of giving the drug. Again, these people have, you know, a bad disease requiring treatment, and sunitinib's a good treatment, so it wouldn't at all prevent you from giving somebody the drug. If they get hypothyroidism, it's really easily treatable. So it's just something to be aware of. I don't think it interferes with giving the medicine.